and welcome to the TAA teleconference, How to Apply Mainstream Book Publicity Strategies to Academia, presented by Michelle A. Blackley, a literary publicist with Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover. Michelle A. Blackley is a literary publicist with experience on both the agency and production sides of publishing. Her company, Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover, implements public relations campaigns for a wide variety of book authors. Her experience includes planning speaking and book tours and media placement via her contacts with journalists, book reviewers, and broadcast producers. She has worked for Robert Gottlieb at Trident Media Group, LLC, Details Magazine, New York City, and Messenger Post Newspapers in Rochester, New York. As publicity manager at IIL Publishing, New York, Blackley took a startup book division with one title to a multiple title publisher with books in mainstream, brick and mortar, and online stores. Blackley is also an adjunct lecturer of communication at Buffalo State College. I now turn the teleconference over to Michelle Blackley.
Thanks, Jenny, and thanks to everyone for attending today. Jenny, do we have time for them to say their names or why they're there? Should we just go right into
this? Sure. If you would like for everyone to kind of announce who they are, we've got a few minutes that we can do that.
Okay, great. So if everyone just wants to say who they are and what their needs are or why they're attending the teleseminar today, that would be great.
Hello, my name is Judy Cavey, and I'm an educator writing a textbook.
My name.
Hello.
This is Mary Lynn Dearington, Western Washington University. I've had a book published, and I find that the publicity falls in some measure to the author, not just the publisher.
Oh, this is Richard Mann. I published books, and I'm a professor at Pepperdine right now in the process of writing a couple more books. I agree with the last person who announced that the publishers just don't do anything, and I'm getting back the copyright so that I can do some of this publicity strategy that may work.
Okay. This is Michael and Alana Lenny at Lenny Literary Agency and Authors Attorney.
Hi, my name's Kevin Patton. I publish several textbooks and reference books in anatomy and physiology, and I'm always looking for ways to help sell more books.
This is Deborah Barnett, and I'm publishing a financial workbook. It's being bound as we speak, so this is very timely for me, entitled Mastering the Art of Credit Cards.
This is Mary Von Tinney. I'm an academic at Western Governors University, and I focus more on English as a second language textbooks, and some in my personal life are a different field, but I'm always interested in this topic because we do need to do our own work a lot.
Okay, is that everyone? All right, well, let's get started. As you probably have read in the emails that went out about today's teleseminar, today's publishing and book marketplace can be extremely viral, meaning a lot of popular books that we see, whether they're published by big houses or even self-published, have a very dominant presence on the internet. And that's just one component that we're going to talk about today, how to utilize the internet to the best of your ability and really put you and your books out there and almost create a brand for yourself. Another thing about today's book marketplace is that it's extremely competitive, both in popular fiction and nonfiction. So we're going to talk about what publicity strategies work for mainstream writers and how they can be applied in academia. And as a couple of you have said, some publishers do supply their own marketing and publicity efforts to authors' campaigns, but there's always things to do outside of the publishing house that authors can do on their own. We're going to talk about how to get in libraries, especially if you're self-published, using local and national bookstores, how to do an online tour, and what sales really mean in correlation with publicity. So the first thing we're going to talk about are just mainstream publicity strategies. The main key thing that's done in mainstream book publicity are good press releases that are written that become viral on the internet. Certainly you're all writers and you can probably write your own good press release. You can always hire someone to write a press release for you. One of the most important parts of textbook publicity and marketing is a press release. It has to be a simple one-page document just covering the basics, who, what, where, and why, and how the consumer can buy the book and where is it out in the marketplace. With the 24-hour news cycle that we now have, it's very important that you make what your book is about timely. Even if it may not be a timely subject matter, there's always a way to incorporate it into grabbing someone's attention, making it newsworthy, making it clear why anyone should care about your book and why they should care about it at that time. Certainly breaking down lessons, tips, tricks, any suggestions that your book offers to its readers in a plain and simple format, such as using bullet points, are always helpful. Putting press releases out there, and if you have the handout available that went out a couple days ago, there's a list of where you can submit press releases for free. And so once you put a press release out on the internet, it's literally out of your hands, and it can come up into a Google search. People sign up for Google Alerts. That link is also on there as well, and it's free, and you can do searches by names or topics. So once your press release is out there with your title and your name, it can be picked up by a reporter, an editor, a bookseller, you know, really anyone. So a strong press release is always needed. Just going more into detail, putting it on nice letterhead, putting a good dateline, you know, where you're located, the date you want it released. A lot of the press release distribution services will do that for you, but it's always good to have it on there anyway. Press releases always need a good headline, again, something that's timely and catching. And you want to list the most important information about your book, its message, maybe the page length, new and interesting or innovative research that you have, anything that you feel is important at the top of the release. And you should always have information about yourself, the author, towards the bottom. The very bottom of the press release, the final paragraph should have contact information either directly to you if you're doing your own publicity or wherever media can contact someone to learn more about you and your book. You could always put your website, or maybe there's a website devoted specifically to your book that can go on there. And, of course, you want to proofread it before you put it over the wires. And getting it out there is most important. Does anyone have any questions so far about press releases and submitting them online?
Okay. Hi, this is Kevin. I just had a comment on the press release, or like two things to share. One is I've done some press releases where on my textbooks where I had my school, their marketing department, go over my press release and get it in a little bit better shape than I had it, and then send it out to their usual news sources. And those included both national, like academic journals and so on, as well as some local news outlets. And that really saved a lot of time and effort on my part by having them do it. And it probably lent a little bit more credibility since it was coming from you know, an established source of news rather than just me.
Right.
So that's something people might want to consider. However, the last one of those I did, I got in trouble from my publisher because I didn't run it past them. Not that they require that, but I was kind of happy with the fact I was announcing a revision of a textbook, and the previous edition had done very well. And so I put a vague number there, you know, sold over so many copies in the last edition and so on. And my publisher went ballistic because they said that's proprietary information and that's going to give the competing textbooks in that market niche an idea that we're selling more copies than they think we are and so on. So, you know, it might not be a bad idea to consult with the publisher. I would have never guessed that that piece of information would have caused a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And whether
those
I agree with it or not, you know, it caused a problem. So.
Yeah, those are two really good points. Definitely having your press release come from someone other than yourself does give it more credibility. And utilizing, you know, such as the school's marketing department is a great tool. And, yeah, it is always good if your book is being published by a house. You may want to run by them, you know, exactly what you're putting out there because you never know what could be sensitive information. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Okay, we're going to move on to getting into libraries. If you're a self-published author or you're going through a small publishing house, you may need to find your own wholesaler or distributor. If you are being published by a house, they have contacts and people that they have established relationships with them who will handle getting your books into the libraries and the bookstores. But if you are on your own and independent, some good places to contact and learn more information about how to get your book into libraries and working with wholesalers are the American Library Association. And again, going back to publicity to get the attention of libraries and those that distribute to libraries are the publishing review books, such as the Horn Book Magazine, Kirkus Reviews, which always does book reviews prior to the book pubbing, and all the librarians read that. There's the Library Journal, of course, the New York Times Book Review, and the School Library Journal. There's also trade shows. Domestically, the largest book trade show is the Book Expo America. This year it's being held in New York at the end of May, and I think it's actually scheduled to be there for the next 5 years, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the name of that again? You got a little blip when you said it.
The Book Expo America.
Book Expo. Thank you.
Yeah. And you can find more details on, you know, cost of attendance, who's going to be exhibiting. They always have really handy sessions that are included in the cost of admission. So if you just Google Book Expo America, it's also known as the BEA, you'll have tons of information about, you know, where to go, what to do, who you can meet with. It's a great place to start, especially if you're a new author. Getting into bookstores, the chains versus independents. If you're strictly a textbook author, not always will the bookstores be interested in stocking your book. It really just depends on the genre and the type of bookstore. But if it can be applied to more of a mainstream audience, then bookstores are definitely a place you should get into. There's an organization called BookSense that works strictly with the independents. And then again, for the chains, you will need a distributor. Bookstores such as Barnes & Noble will only stock books that can be returned, and that's to the distributor. Bookstores like Barnes & Noble also only work with certain distributors, like Baker & Taylor. And again, they have individual relationships with them. If you're an independent author, you'll want to look over any agreements that they send you to find out any shipping costs that you may be responsible for. I know there are some distributors that charge for keeping your books in a warehouse. So these are just, you know, tiny matters that are always important because they can add up, especially at the end of the day when if you have a book that's returned to a store, what that means to you, what that means to your revenue. So, and this is information I can give you one-on-one after the teleseminar if you want to email me. I can give you contact information and contact at some of the distributors that can help you get started and learn a little bit more about the process of getting into bookstores. Does anyone have any questions about libraries and bookstores? Okay, moving on. Going back to the internet and how you can really utilize the internet nowadays in terms of bringing attention to you and your books. Blogs are a great place to get a following, and a lot of authors do them. They're either independent of what they've been working on in terms of what books they've published or what books they have coming out. They can be very newsy. They can be very personal, or they can have a subject matter of their expertise. Blogs are something that you can do for free. There are tons of sites out there, such as blogspot.com. I know some writers use their MySpace accounts to post their blogs. So it's really just what you feel comfortable doing. And you can get comments from fans, from people that are interested in learning more about your subject. And it's also a great way for media to find out information about you and possibly cover and, you know, build up, again, the whole brand of your books and your name. Online tours are something that are becoming more and more popular. And if you're interested in learning more about how to do an online book tour, I can give you the name and number of a woman that organizes just strictly online book tours for authors. And they do it through blogs, through online chats. So it's really like you're not going to the brick-and-mortar store, but you are doing maybe some kind of book reading. You're interacting with an audience online, and you're scheduling them maybe one a week or one a day. It's really up to how you work with the people that organize them. So online tours, blogs, that's another way to become viral online. Using any of the social networking sites that are out there now. All of my authors that I work with have a Facebook page. So it is a personal, but it's also a great way to connect with readers. Again, putting more content out about what you do. I have one writer who is a journalist, but he writes crime, suspense, thriller books. So on his Facebook page, you know, he has that presence, but he also will post an article, you know, that he just did about a political piece. So you can be diverse, and it's just a great way to get out there and have more presence using the whole mainstream media as a way to bring attention to your work. Does anyone have any questions about online tours and blogging and social networking?
Yeah, this is Kevin again. I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I recently put up a Facebook page, and the intent when I did that was mainly to have that kind of presence like you suggested, but I just signed up under my name. And almost immediately, and I linked it to a blog I do, and I have something going on in my web here. Sorry about that. Anyway, I have... I did that, and I put some links to some of my blog material in that, and that was the intent. But what happened within about a week and a half, all of my social friends and friends at college and so on had asked to be my friend and so on, and now my page is all filled with stuff that has nothing to do with what I really wanted to do. And then
I
got into Facebook more, I realized that there are some organizations in that have a Facebook page that's like for the title of their book or for the them as an separately as an author. Is that something you recommend, or how would you do that? How would you sell
Definitely.
That?
It really just depends on what you're comfortable with and what your goal is. I have one writer who he's a retired FBI anti-terrorism agent, and he writes children's books. So he has one page where we just devoted it to his children's books, and his profile photo is of one of his characters. And then we have another Facebook account where it's his name and his photo and all of his FBI, anti-terrorism, that whole niche. You can also do what they call is a group, a Facebook group, and I actually did this myself, where I have my own personal page where there's friends, and I do a lot of networking, but then I did a group page where it's just strictly work, and it's just my publicity, and it's, you know, my authors. They can intertwine, and I think that intertwining them is good in a way, because you build more of a base and you're doing more networking, and it's also almost impossible to really keep them separate unless you're doing something like my one author with his terrorism and his children's books, because they're so drastically different. So it's really just what you feel comfortable with. If you want to keep your friends and family on one page and then your professional work on another. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's trying to remember how I went in and did. I think there's a link. I can actually email it to you where you can go directly in and create your group or the separate page, and it's still under your account. So you can sign in the same way, but you can manage them in two different ways.
Great.
Okay, does anyone have any other questions?
Yes, I do. This is Judy. I was wondering if you could give us the name of the lady who does the online tours.
I can. I can actually send you a link to her website, her company
great.
Website.
Okay, great.
Anybody else? Okay. Another category that we're going to talk about is writing more. In addition to writing in academia, writing textbooks, you should always be, you know, writing for academic journals, any magazines, either mainstream or trade magazines, and newspapers can be a great way to showcase your expertise on the subject that you write about or on any given subject, and always mention a new book that's coming out. It's basically making you somewhat of a freelance writer by doing this, but it goes back to how publishing houses will have the publicity team there for you, but it's always good for the author to do things on their own. So you're probably very familiar with different academic journals in your field. So starting out, academic journals are a great way to write for or to even do book reviews for. Professional organizations usually have newsletters, websites, or even teleseminars or webcasts. You can present your information for free. It's a great way to get your name and your book information into large numbers of essentially what is your readership, your audience. Different companies, company newsletters. For example, if you're an expert in computer science, anything with accounting, you know, writing for an accounting firm, newsletter could be a great publication to get the brand of your work to a new group of people and make them familiar with your new book and what you write about. And again, blogs. Even though blogs, you do them for free unless you become savvy enough to implement advertising into your webpage, creating a blog is an easy process. And again, it's just a great way to put your work out there and make you have a more viral online presence. You could see if you can link like Kevin did, he linked his blog to his Facebook page. You could see if it's possible to link your blog to professional organizations, companies. Really, it's the internet is just the last frontier in terms of what is possible. And, of course, you always want to be careful with where you're putting your work and your name and what you're doing, but it is a great resource. Another thing you can do is create your own newsletter. If you have the time to commit, you can start your own either weekly or monthly newsletter. You can do it online. You know, obviously, printing something like a newsletter could be costly. But in the online newsletter, you can put a link to where you can buy your book. And if it's not your own website, it could even be to like an Amazon page or a Barnes & Noble page. Again, this builds credibility, and it shows that you have a very entrepreneurial spirit, and it can be very professional and showcases you as an expertise. Starting your own website, if none of the more traditional placements such as trade publications work for you, creating your own outlet is a great way to put your work out there. So like a newsletter, creating a web page is inexpensive. In most cases, it can be free if your computer is savvy enough to set up your own website. You can put your blog on it, and again, you could even launch a newsletter from your site and keep them archived on there. Contacting print media and your local news outlets, offering your expertise to a local morning program or nightly news show is a time commitment, but it's a great way to get your name and your work out there. Community newspapers or local and even national magazines. So really all of your efforts should be going back to how you're building your writing career. You're gathering writing clips and you're highlighting your talents and your expertise, refocusing it to the book that's coming out, or it may already be out in some cases.
Michelle, may I ask a question?
Sure.
This is Deborah Barnett, and in the start of this segment, you were talking about getting articles, writing more, getting articles into. And one thing I keep hearing a lot is that unless you're a PR person and you know the person at the magazine, it's very hard to get your articles accepted. Could you speak to that?
Sure. Definitely, if you have a personal contact as an editor or even a reporter at a publication, you're going to have an easier time, but it's not impossible if you don't or if you're not a PR person. And that goes back to sort of starting out small. If you have a great idea for an article based on what you write about or your expertise and having that published in a smaller publication such as a community newspaper and then showing that clip to, let's say, someone at a national magazine, that's going to help you. But if you have a great idea and your pitch is right on and it's timely, the editor may just say, yeah, go ahead, and we're gonna have you write this. You should always check out what the editor is looking for, what sections of a publication they accept freelance writers for, and you can get that information usually from their websites, or there's a website called MediaBistro.com. And if you become a member, I think it's like $50 for 6 months, they have a database of basically every magazine, newspaper, online website that showcases, you know, who's the right person to contact, how they want to be contacted, and what they look for. So even if you don't have, you're not a professional PR person or you don't have the personal contact, it's not totally impossible. Does that answer your question?
Yes, thanks so much.
Okay, good. Anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. The last category we're going to talk about today are sales. And a lot of times when I'm meeting with a new client, they want to know what the business model is for publishing and book publicity. And, you know, I always tell them, well, in a perfect world, publicity equals sales. In today's marketplace, that's not always going to be the case. Ideally, if, you know, your book becomes a national bestseller based on attention that it's been getting a fan base, you've been built up as an expertise in your field and you're appearing on, you know, morning shows, your sales should increase. I have heard horror stories where an unknown author has gone on a major television show and the publisher gets bombarded with orders and they can't do it. They can't keep up with the demand. So, I mean, definitely more sales is great. The more publicity you get should turn into more attention and more sales for your book, but it's not always the case. sometimes it's just a matter of luck. It doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying to get as much publicity and attention as possible, but this is something always to keep in the back of your mind in case you start feeling frustrated.
Excuse me, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
Somebody, I think, needs to mute themselves. We're getting a lot of static over the phone.
I was waiting for a break there. Yes, if everyone could please press 4 star to mute themselves since the teleconference is recorded, we'd like to minimize the background noise. Much better. Thank you.
So that's just something to keep in mind about sales. If you're not seeing your sales and your book numbers increase right away, even though you are getting publicity, it's something that you shouldn't be frustrated about. It really depends. Sometimes it's even the time of year. Summer is not always a great time to pub a book, but, in the fall, in the publishing world, things sort of go back to normal. People get back to the office, and the news cycle starts to be more energetic. So it's just something to keep in mind as you're going forward with your work and your efforts and your publicity in publishing.
This has been an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.